Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I frequently publish articles by Joaquin Agopian, who's a West Point graduate, a former Army officer, author of Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down, who exposes a faulty U.S. military leadership system based on ticket punching at the seniority level, inevitably weeding out the best and the brightest, leaving mediocrity and order followers rising to the top as politician bureaucrat generals designated to lose every modern U.S. war by elite design. After the military, he earned a master's degree in clinical psychology, worked as a licensed therapist in the mental health field with abused youth and adolescents for more than a quarter century. In L.A., he found himself battling the largest county child protective services in the nation with an America's thoroughly broken and corrupt child welfare system. His experience in both the military and child welfare prepared him well as a researcher and independent journalist, exposing evils of Big Pharma and how the Rockefeller-controlled media and psychiatric system inflict more harm than good. Case in point, the current diabolical pandemic hoax and genocide. As an independent journalist for the last decade, Joaquin has written hundreds of articles for many news sites like Global Research, Lou Rockwell, and currently JamesHFetzer.org. As a published best-selling author on Amazon of a five-book volume series entitled Pedophilia and Empire, Satan, Sodomy, and the Deep State. His A to Z Sourcebook series exposes the global pedophilia scourge and is available for free at pedoempire.org/content/. He also hosts Revolution Radio weekly broadcast, Cabal Empire Exposed, Friday evenings at 6 a.m. Eastern. Now, I mention all this because this guy is a leading expert on pedophilia, Pizzagate, and the like in the world. I'm very proud that he acknowledges that he was induced to commit all of his research here to writing to books by me, by yours truly. I think he's one of the best commentators out there. I've just published a new piece about the Pentagon League by Joaquin, which I want to share with you. Anatomy of a PSYOP's Deception for Increasing Tyrannical Control. Get that? A PSYOP Deception for Increasing Tyrannical Control. Joaquin Hagopian. Given the fact that bloodline-controlling families like the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and European black nobility royals own, operate, and control a global central banking cartel that has controlling shareholders in the world's wealthiest investment firm, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, own and control virtually all of the Fortune 500 international corporations, all of the mainstream media news outlets, social media, big tech giants, UN and WHO, big pharma, and medical healthcare establishment, and through bribery and sexual blackmail, the vast majority of puppets in major governments around the world. With that as a bottom line grim reality in today's world, every major news development of any significance at all has been planned well in advance by this same elite ruling class. Virtually all major news stories today are completely controlled from beginning to end by this predatory power at will, committing crimes against humanity and children of virtual impunity for centuries, including all major wars backing both sides, as well as controlling all major economic depressions. The average everyday person has zero say in this tyrannically controlled world in crisis we find ourselves living in today. Though for decades, this centralized power structure has been consolidating its control into fewer hands as technology advances. For more than a century, it's always been plotting to gain absolute unlimited control through the establishment of its one world government. Today, the ruling elites have never been closer than at this current moment in time to achieving this long-time wet dream of absolute dystopian control over the global masses. That said, these criminal controllers have never had the rampant crimes more widely exposed than they are today. For that very reason, fearing that criminal and karmic justice is about to catch up to them, since public exposure of their egregious crimes is reaching critical mass, the power brokers are currently escalating their all-out war against humanity through deliberately engineered, unprecedented, deadly crises now converging to drastically depopulate the planet as their calculated best option for retaining power and control. Growing increasingly desperate after their COVID non-vaccine failed to kill off enough of us, they are now stepping up their deployment of a near unlimited weapon of mass destruction arsenal bombardment to finish off 90-95% of all humans, using potential nuclear holocaust, more pandemics, with even deadlier mandated bioweapon jabs, total global financial and economic collapse and de-dollarization, weather warfare, severe food and fuel shortages, rising inflation and unaffordable costs of living increases, all manufactured to ensure that billions of us are exterminated planet-wide sooner than later. With this as a horrific backdrop, the Pentagon leak story is filled with too many suspicious anomalies to be even remotely believed, indicating clearly that it's just another spurious psychological operation, not so neatly spun by the White House and Biden's weaponized, politicized FBI goons trying desperately to control the narrative to not make his imposter regime the worst monstrosity to hit Washington in all of U.S. history. The FBI used the Mockingbird rags, the New York Times and the Washington Post as their cutout for a company. Again, cui bono? Who benefits? The usual suspects, all blatantly shabbily done, intended to accomplish more nefarious gains of fascist tyranny and control through their standard deceptive tactics, with the Pentagon pretending to be in full damage control mode. The alleged suspect, 21-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman Jack T.X. Serra, is our identified deep state cabal patsy, charged with espionage for allegedly leaking at least 300 top secret Pentagon documents, according to the Washington Post of April 10th. If Jack Teixeira did photograph and share a trove of national intelligence classified documents on the Discord gaming platform with his clique of young, like-minded buddies, as the Washington Post claims, then it's extremely plausible that Jack was set up from the get-go in an intelligence operation to become Deep State's next designated fall guy. According to the Washington Post, on Wednesday evening, April 12, WaPo reported the leaker is a man in his 20s, works on a U.S. military post, and shared top-secret documents on a gaming chat platform. Quote, united by their mutual love of guns, military gear, and God, the group of roughly two dozen, mostly men and boys, formed an invitation-only clubhouse in 2020 on Discord, an online platform popular with gamers. The notion that the two most notorious CIA-controlled newspapers in the world, the New York Times and Washington Post, cleverly took on the role of tag team duo to break this story on April 6, to then feverishly, within a week, hone in and solve this wag-the-dog, bread-and-circus melodrama, while the entire Pentagon intelligence apparatus blithered behind clueless actor Lloyd Austin's empty vow to turn over every rock, defies all reality. But less than 24 hours later, on the 13th, the Times beat him to the punch. The notion that in 7 days, the New York Times identified the suspect without involving any of the 17 U.S. federal alphabet soup agencies, but only minor assistance from open-source investigative website Bellingcat, and tops it off with a top-notch New York Times reporter arriving at the suspect's doorstep to await the FBI showing up 2 hours later on April 13th to place the suspect in custody is a pure Biden clown show shoddy production. The only thing not fake are the government-leaked documents, though, as is custom, their revealed damning truth is also mixed with disinformation. It's preposterous to think this amateurishly spun theater would even be sold to a waiting, gullible public, to buy the whopper of a tale that the intelligence community played no part or had any idea that as far back as December 2022, classified documents were being routinely posted months in advance without being noticed, floating out there in the nether cyber world galaxy unbeknownst to the CIA, NSA, FBI, DIA, Office of Director of National Intelligence, or the big Pentagon chief himself, until the New York Times broke this story on April 6, is pure outlandish absurdity. The reality is, the U.S. government's dirty fingerprints have been left all over this crime scene hoax and its sophomoric attempt to use the mainstream media's favorite propaganda whores to solve this mystery spanning the last 4 months, only to be uncovered in just 7 days, is ridiculously lacking all credibility. For the intel community to use this fake story as its fake false cover, letting the Times and WaPo report how this supposed serious breach of U.S. national security first breaking on April 6th, the same day Pentagon pinhead Austin bogusly claimed he first learned of the leaks, then 1 week later, New York Times super sleuth reporters crack the case, open, identified the suspect. At the intel community was apparently too dumbfounded in panic mode to solve, is an insult to our intelligence. His incredulous story, topped off with reporters showing up at the suspect's home in Massachusetts a couple hours ahead of the FBI, smells of a fishy plot from a low-budget B-movie farcical comedy of errors. Deceitful D.C. neocons take us all for idiots, mocking the public for not readily seeing through their phony facade of self-serving deception. Former honest career intel officers were quick to call out the lies. Former veteran CIA analyst and now journalist Larry Johnson unequivocally stated in an interview on April 12th, that one document alone from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence Operations Center tells you immediately it is impossible for anyone on a military base to have had access to this. Another career veteran of the CIA who's told the truth for years is Ray McGovern, who recently stated, somebody in the White House or the Pentagon said, yeah, you lay it all out. Let people see. Yeah, let people see that Milley, Sullivan, Blinken, Biden, all these guys have been lying through their teeth. Let them see that now. And maybe more sensible decision will be made because they're going to have to be made in the next couple of months. Ray suggests that this intelligence operation was given the green light to discredit and get rid of Biden and company. In agreement, a Russian intelligence analyst for an article written by Brussels-based political analyst Gilbert Doctorow. The leak is viewed as an attempt to discredit Joe Biden, to discredit the biological Joe Biden, and also what the Russians are calling the collective Joe Biden, meaning the team of assistants who do the thinking for Joe and feed him his lines to read. The documents leaked show that the Biden admin, through Lloyd Austin, through Anthony Blinken, is lying day after day about the real situation of the Ukrainian military. Another reason why this dangerous game of charades was allowed to messily play out shows far more dangerous and diabolical motivation than just a ploy to remove Biden and company, which may well be the case. But even a casual observer taking stock of recent actions by various criminal deep state players would lead to a conclusion that the Pentagon leaks serve as a convenient excuse to raise the security state's massive internet surveillance of Americans. Biden, his cabinet, and his FBI director, Christopher Wray, from the beginning of their illegitimate administration right up to today, have all been a broken record, repeating their same false narrative, identifying America's most dangerous violent threat to be gun-toting white supremacist extremism. So brain-dead Biden and his brain-dead crew of incompetence purposely cherry-picked and insolved to serve as traitors assigned the task of taking down the U.S. Constitutional Republic, that is, from within, to finish the job that traitor Obama started and to a large degree still calls as a ventriloquist to his brain-dead ex-VP. Less than a week ago, Oversight Committee Chairman Representative Jim Jordan subpoenaed FBI Director Chris Wray for targeting Christianity and Catholicism as an extremist danger, subversively sending out his FBI agents to collude with Catholic parishes to spy on American Christians practicing their faith. If this isn't a First Amendment violation of freedom of religion, then what is? For years, these godless traitors have been flagrantly violating their sworn oaths of office to defend and uphold the U.S. Constitution. Soon, they will be held accountable for all their overtly treasonous crimes. Another even more alarming recent development is the so-called anti-TikTok bill being sold to America's protection from subversive influence from America's number one foreign adversary, China. Last month, the Senate rolled out with uniparty support the Restricting the Emergence of Security Threats That Risk Information and Communication Technology, the Restrict Act. But the reality of this Restrict Act is targeting Americans' free speech, labeling dissenters as domestic terrorists based on so-called extremist views expressed on social media that dare question stolen election results, fake pandemics, dangerous, unsafe, and ineffective genocidal non-vaccinations, the federal government's authoritative overreach, the insanity of supporting Ukraine at all costs, or potential war with China over Taiwan, essentially criminalizing anyone questioning or disagreeing with a current treasonous oppressive regime. A March 29th Breitbart article states, it grants sweeping powers to the federal government to restrict the online activities of Americans, imposing heavy penalties on any citizen who circumvents it, including criminal fines of up to $1 million, jail sentences of up to 20 years, and the seizure and search of hardware and online accounts, including cryptocurrency. The Restrict Act delivers much stricter surveillance on Americans on social platforms, with Big Tech and Big Brother's fascist draconian collusion spying on citizens, specifically targeting dissenters or anyone desiring to restore our lost, trampled on constitutional rights. The Restrict Act authorizes the government to arrest and imprison citizens as domestic terrorists without warrant and unlawfully detain them indefinitely without due process or trial. Despite this legislation clearly and criminally violating our Constitution, imposter and thief, Biden regime plans to use it to eliminate any and all political opposition to the current ruthless U.S. dictatorship. The S-686 Restrict Act, that would be Senate Bill 686, sponsored by Democrat Senator Mark Warner from Virginia, thus far has been read twice in the Senate, and as of March 7, 2023, was referred to the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation for further consideration. Thus, it's all too obvious that Jack Teixeira fits the psychological profile of Biden regime's definition of a domestic terrorist. The day before his arrest, the Washington Post article quotes an anonymous 17-year-old member of what U.S. government would typically classify as Teixeira's dangerous gun cult, preaching violent extremism, with the informant stating that his idolized leader is a young white Christian who loves God, guns, and makes frequent racist and anti-Semitic slurs the feds label hate speech. Up now on espionage charges for his alleged breaching of national security, if in fact Jack Teixeira did expose U.S. deep state lies that may save humanity from the bloodiest world war ever, history may well look back favorably on this young patriot hero trying to stop an escalating war by exposing the truth. Yet if found guilty, his punishment will be severe. On Friday, April 14th, the New York Post states, Jack Teixeira appeared in a Boston court where he was officially charged with unauthorized detention and transmission of national defense information and unauthorized removal of classified information and defense materials. The charges carry sentences of up to 10 and 5 years, respectively. The objective of the D.C. neocon traitors, making Teixeira their fall guy, is to use his case as both an explicit threat to all citizens opposing the treasonous government for nonstop lies and vile criminality, and its perfect timing with the Fed's recent outed war against both Christianity and internet dissent with a Restrict Act, which are the trademark giveaway of an intel operation planned and plotted by government traitors months in advance. An April 14 Sputnik article opens with the following remark. The Pentagon leak could have been deliberately orchestrated to force the removal of U.S. President Joe Biden and/or to expand the power of the U.S. government to regulate anything posted on the internet. Since Teixeira's April 13th arrest, mainstream media journalists have focused exclusively on asking how Washington will prevent this sort of breach in the future, rather than the fact that the documents expose the illegal war in Ukraine with American and NATO boots on the ground. No mainstream reporters even bother to question the blatant reality.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. first insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, the last point that Joaquin is making here is extremely important. You're hearing a lot about the guy who's supposed to have been the traitor, the leaker. You're hearing nothing about the content of the leaks. The content of the leaks is actually devastating. It reveals that the United States and NATO were in Ukraine preparing for the Russian intrusion long before it even took place. In other words, it spells out that this was a provoked war deliberately by Ukraine under the control of the U.S. and NATO to draw Russia into what NATO and the United States mistakenly believed would be an opportunity to greatly weaken the bear. I mean, it's really important what this guy revealed. I mean, assuming it was he who revealed it and that he's not simply another figment of our imagination. I'm taking for granted at this point that this is a real guy, even though I agree with Larry Johnson and with Ray McGovern, and with Joaquin Agobian, that this all appears to be a setup that's got deliberate purposes, that the intel agencies set this guy up as a patsy, just as the CIA and the LBJ set up Lee Harvey Oswald as a patsy, which we know conclusively because Lee was standing in the doorway of the Texas School Book Depository at the time the JFK motorcade passed by, meaning that he not only cannot have been the lone demented gunman, but that he cannot have been one of the multiple shooters. Actually, there appear to have been 8, corresponding to the different sponsors of the event. For each of the sponsors had their own guy. And the sponsors included the CIA, the Joint Chiefs, the Mafia, the anti-Castro Cubans, the Fed, Israel, Texas oilmen, and Lyndon Johnson. They each had their own shooter in Dealey Plaza. I've identified 6. My name, rank, serial number, the shots they took, the effects they had. Only Domegar the 7th, with which I agree. The only one that remains is a shooter on the South Knoll, where there was a single tree, and you wouldn't believe there could have been a gunman positioned there. But I've seen the photographs in the hands of 2 different JFK experts, 2 different photographs, standing holding his rifle. He was there. And if I have it right, given the identification I've made of the others, he would appear to have been representing the Fed. But it was on that order of magnitude. And you begin to get a hint of understanding about how serious all this was. Meaning the extent to which a government will go to fabricate and cover up, even about a crime of the greatest magnitude. I mean, taking out the president of the United States in broad daylight. And by the way, those who think it would have been easier to kill Jack, say, in the White House in the dead of night, of course that's true. But if you kill JFK in the White House in the dead of night, nobody is going to believe it was not a conspiracy. So they had to do it in a big city, in a public forum with lots of witnesses, so he could discount or at least counter the suspicion it had been a conspiracy. And of course, by fingering Lee Oswald, or the arrest report for Lee, which was actually made up before he was even arrested, states this man shot and killed President John F. Kennedy and wounded Governor John Conley, and then adds he also shot and killed police officer J.D. Timmon. I mean, it's all ridiculous. How could you know those things before any investigation was even completed, and yet it's on an arrest report, which appears to have been dated in time 10 minutes before Lee was even apprehended at the Texas Theater? How bad is that? They make these blunders. But then, as James Files explained to me, where Files may or may not have been a shooter on the grassy knoll, he's not on my list. But I like the guy tremendously. I think he's highly intelligent, knows a hell of a lot about a hell of a lot. And we had dinner right here in Madison, my treat, James and his wife. And he told me that when the government takes a position, it's locked in. It's locked in and will never change. So, even though we know Lee was in the doorway, the government is not going to change its position. And even though the House Select Committee, when it reinvestigated the case 77-78 and published its final report 79, suggested there had been a second shooter, an independent shooter, who just by coincidence was firing at JFK at the same time behind the picket fence, which I take to be the role James Files is designated to fulfill, it's never going to change. In fact, interestingly, and it may have been David W. Manick, MD, PhD, who's a leading expert on the medical evidence in the assassination of JFK, informed me there's an unsigned note with the HSCA final report that states that the conclusion that there was a second shooter was based on a motorcycle audio tape and was in error. In other words, even in spite of the HSCA findings of a second shooter, and of course, Files claims to have been that person and has 3 books, videos, Confessions of an Assassin, Baba, fascinating stuff. That note, that unsigned note, denies it. Another case? The government, of course, official claims it was 19 Islamic terrorists who commandeered 4 commercial carriers and committed the atrocities at 9/11. Well, having founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December 2005, having brought together hundreds and hundreds of experts, having been flown around the world to lecture on 9/11, I can tell you, 2 of those planes weren't even in the air that day. Flight 11, that would be allegedly hit the North Tower. 77, allegedly hit the Pentagon. They were not even in the air that day. And with regard to the other 2, Flight 93, Shanksville, and 175, South Tower, pilots for 9/11 Truth was able to track the routes of the actual aircraft that were allegedly Flights 93 and 175, and discovered Flight 93 was over Shanksville, was over Champaign-Urbana after it officially crashed in Shanksville, and that 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it had officially hit the South Tower, and where I myself obtained Federal Aviation Administration registration records showing that the actual physical aircraft used for those 2 flights were not even taken out of service until 28 September 2005. Raising the obvious questions, how can planes that were not even in the air have crashed on 9/11 and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? And just to review the bidding with an authoritative expert, because I've spent a huge amount of time on the 4 9/11 crash sites in determining that all 4 of them were fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways, with Major General Albert Stubblebine, U.S. Army retired, who was in charge of all American signals intelligence, including photographic. And when I patiently reviewed all the evidence I'd accumulated with General Stubblebine, he not only agreed with me, he offered additional reasons why I was right. Now, David Ray Griffin, in his magisterial book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, makes as his very first point that 6 or more of these alleged Islamic terrorists turned up alive and well the following day and made contact with the British press. Well, if that's the case, they obviously didn't die in plane crashes. They weren't suicidal hijackers because they were alive and well and didn't commit suicide by crashing planes into these buildings. But 2 of them weren't even in the air, and the other 2 were still in the air long after, for years. But will the government change? No. The FBI still maintains the same list of 19. So Files made a really key point to me, namely, once a government stakes out a position, it is locked in. Which means, of course, the government isn't a rational fact-finding entity. And the government really is politically driven, just as it took me years from the days of a young man when I first went on a bicycle tour of Europe, England, Belgium, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, France when I was 15. Initiated from Washington, D.C., where when I visited and looked across the street at the Department of Justice, I thought to myself then, wow, isn't this impressive? The American government has a whole branch or agency devoted to bringing justice to American citizens. Well, that was pretty naive of me then. Obviously, we all know better today. So what do we have going here? I think Larry Johnson, Ray McGovern, Joaquin Hagopian are spelling out what's going on here with this purported leak. Let me therefore continue. Since Terry Axe's April 13th arrest, mainstream media journalists have focused exclusively on asking how Washington will prevent this sort of breach in the future, rather than the fact that the document exposed the illegal war in Ukraine with American and NATO boots on the ground. No mainstream reporters bother even questioning this blatant reality if they wish to keep their jobs. Thus, it smacks of yet another psyop that is opportunistically using the dialectical modus operandi formula of problem, reaction, solution to advance draconian tyranny and autocratic clampdown control in the name of ever-tightened national security. The identified fake problem is a dangerous threat posed by TXR's so-called reactionary extremism as a gun-loving white Christian racist willing to violate U.S. national security through subversive, treasonous online criminal activity. The dialectical reaction is a resultant strained relation with U.S. allies and the dimming prospect of a successful Ukraine defeating demonized U.S. enemy Russia as the unprovoked invader, threatening the West's false propaganda export of democratic freedom to the rest of the world. And the solution is a restrict act, the much needed closer monitoring of all citizens online to safeguard against future traitors and domestic terrorists, including all those who disapprove of the current illegitimate regime's criminality. For this government, the obvious solution is brutal, despotic dictatorship, lawlessly destroying all dissent and any potential movement to restore constitutional rights of lost freedom. That way, the current crop of useful idiots get to stay in power. Drawing a parallel with the original Pentagon Papers whistleblower 52 years ago, military analyst Daniel Ellsberg similarly exposed the lies that U.S. politicians and generals used to keep an immoral, bloody war going for nearly a decade in Southeast Asia. Initially, Ellsberg was also charged with espionage, set to be locked away for the rest of his life, but eventually Ellsberg was viewed as an ethical truth teller, doing his patriotic duty for his nation, as his leak effectively convinced America that the Vietnam War must end. And less than 2 years later, it did.
Hey, everybody. It looks like Jim is having a mic problem there. I heard his phone ring. Maybe he had to pick up and said, oh, God, they called. I know how that is.
Mitchell, anyway, you're right. I had to take it. My wife has had medical issues here, and oh, there was a problem with her medication, and I had to leave the phone on so it would ring. That's if fine, they called, and they've just called. So here we go. drawing a parallel with the original Pentagon paper whistleblower 52 years ago. Military analyst Daniel Ellsberg similarly exposed a lie that the U.S. politicians and generals used to keep an immoral bloody war going for nearly a decade in Southeast Asia. Initially, Ellsberg was also charged with espionage, set to be locked away for the rest of his life. But eventually, Ellsberg was viewed as an ethical truth teller, doing his patriotic duty for his nation, as his leak effectively convinced America that the Vietnam War must end. And less than 2 years later, it did. Similarly, if in fact Jack Teixeira did leak those documents, he should also be regarded as an honorable patriot for exposing government lies about America's latest immoral, illegal war that might be seen as possibly saving our planet from a devastating World War III. Without legal approval from Congress, leaked documents show that soldiers from the U.S., U.K., Poland, and other NATO members are fighting on the ground in Ukraine against Russia. Thus, not only has the U.S. have the U.S. neocons conned our nation and world into believing otherwise, but willfully withheld this critically important fact from both Congress and the American people. But also, the Washington warmongers have consistently lied to the entire world about Ukraine's prospect of winning the war, as leaks released for 4 straight months prove that the U.S. government and military insiders have all the while known that Russia's steady progress in the war, falsely covered up by the mainstream, will lead to a certain victory. Regardless of the West nearly depleting its entire weapon stockpile through this process over a futile lost cause of Ukraine and its people inhumanely sacrificed as cannon fodder in a slaughterous meat grinder, in effect, it has rendered the U.S. NATO defenseless to go head-to-head against either Russia or China, or fighting both simultaneously on separate world war fronts in Europe and Asia. Nonetheless, the Western puppets, following their elite master's orders, have carried out both failed suicidal sanctions against Russia and failed war plans based entirely on deception in Ukraine, intentionally placing both the United States and Europe in total jeopardy of destruction, provoking a larger world war with superior military Eastern powers that the West would be certain to lose in a conventional war, while making everything, including extinction of the human race, in a life-ending nuclear, while risking everything, including extinction of the human race, in a life-ending nuclear holocaust. The Rothschild et al. Crime family cabal has placed all of its rotten eggs in the one Ukraine war basket, because ever since Putin's special military cleanup operation, the elite has been losing trillions in money laundered revenue streams generated from illegal trafficking of drugs, children, organs, black market arms, and DOD-funded bioweapons in Ukraine. And now, the pre-planned globalist financial and economic infrastructure is fast collapsing as a house of cards. That's why the elites and their puppet minions have been repeatedly caught stepping up to genocide against humanity, because the elites are our only true enemy, not Russia, nor China, nor a multipolar world they've been forced by the crime cabal to wage war and self-defense against. U.S. Western hegemony. The deep state is imploding and attempting to take humanity down with it. As the people learn the truth, the ungodly enemy will fail. Now that, in my opinion, is quite a masterful assessment of where things stand. You can find it on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. And I encourage everyone, you can go and review it there. because this guy, as I'm implying, is among the most thoughtful, articulate, incisive students of what's going on in the world today. So this does indeed look like a classic setup. I have surmised that it might be intended to cushion the blow, because as Joaquin mentions, it not only reveals the U.S. and NATO have been at war with Russia on the ground in Ukraine from the beginning, it also reveals the catastrophic losses Ukraine is suffering, and now the Russians are taking apart the Ukrainian army, and where the ratio is on the order of 8-1, 8 Ukrainians lost for every single Russian. Or as the mainstream would like you to believe, it's something more akin to the opposite. Ridiculous. It turns out Bacholt is the key, the pivotal war of the engagement. Russia is virtually surrounded back, but it's all over, but for the shouting. Right back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either," available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Another story of a completely different caliber and character has to do with the woke agenda here in the United States. And what many are regarding as a catastrophic mistake Bud Light made in using this Brian Delvaney to promote what has heretofore been the most popular beer in America. Think about it. Bud Light has lost some $6 billion in its stock value since this Mulvaney promo was put out. And if you actually watch it, it's really disgusting. I mean, it's childish. It's immature. You got this man who's celebrating his first 365 days as a girl. He's talking about March Madness. He says he just learned it has something to do with sports and not just a crazy month. Oh my God. What self-respecting man in America, a sports enthusiast, doesn't know March Madness is the NCAA basketball playoff with 64 teams, cutting down to 32, cutting down to 16, cutting down to 8, cutting down to the Final Four. I mean, it's insulting. And you're going to have a beer out of a can with a image of a tranny on it? I mean, just think of what that conjures up. So the Epoch Times, which I highly recommend, I mean, this is a wonderful publication. Their articles are far more thorough and detailed and well-researched than you'll find in many other online venues. Loyal Bud Light drinkers switch brews over transgender controversy in Arizona. One bar reports an 80% drop in sales. Now, I'll tell you what's catastrophic here is the backlog is building up. You got all this Bud Light that would normally have been consumed, and it's now sitting around in cartons, and no one is drinking it. Cornville, Arizona. Whatever alcoholic beverage Scott Bradshaw was nursing in a tall glass while seated at the old Corral Bar in Cornville, Arizona, it wasn't Bud Light. Bud Light is not on Bradshaw's list of favorite lower-calorie brews these days. Not after Anheuser-Busch InBev Brewery mixed business and woke politics in promoting a transgender brand ambassador. I mean, the stupidity of this. The company's decision to partner with transgender social media influencer Dylan Mulvaney, a biological male, alienated loyal Bud Light drinkers and saw the loss of up to $6.5 billion in stock value, which keeps growing. Let me see if I can find it handy here. I mean, it's just embarrassingly bad. Embarrassingly bad. The company's decision, yeah, up to $6.5 billion. I think it was a ridiculous thing any marketing person or company could have ever done. Bradshaw lives in Sedona, Arizona, told the Epoch Times. As soon as Mulvaney showcased in a video his face on Bud Light beer commemorative cans, the backlash was almost immediate. I feel sorry for the salespeople who suddenly aren't getting any work. They're getting undermined, Bradshaw said. Sitting on his right was Bradshaw's grandfather, Dale Spoot of Cornwall, who feels Anheuser-Busch is paying the price in lost business. You know what my wife says? She says, don't mess with promotional Budweiser Clydesdale. Leave them alone, Spoon said. According to restaurant and beverage analyst Wisk, W-I-S-K, Bud Light was a top-selling beer of 2022, accounting for nearly 18% of total sales. Nearly 18% of total sales. In response to the brewing beer controversy, Anheuser-Busch CEO Brendan Whiteworth released a statement on April 14th, saying the company never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. Too late. As a CEO of a company founded in America's heartland more than 165 years ago, I am responsible for ensuring every customer feels proud of the beer we brew, Whiteworth wrote. We're honored to be part of the fabric of this country. Anheuser-Busch employs more than 18,000 people, and our independent distributors employ an additional 47,000 valued colleagues. We have thousands of partners, millions of fans, and a proud history supporting our communities, military, first responders, sports fans, and hardworking Americans everywhere. Or used to. We never intended to be part of a discussion that divided people. We are in the business of bringing people together over a beer. Whiteworth, however, did not mention Mulvaney or the nature of the controversy. My time serving this country taught me the importance of accountability and the values upon which America was founded. Freedom, hard work, and respect for one another. As CEO of Anheuser-Busch, I am focused on building and protecting our remarkable history and heritage. I care deeply about this country, our brands, and our partners. I spent much of my time traveling across America, listening to and learning from our customers, distributors, and others. Moving forward, I will continue to work tirelessly to bring great beers to consumers across our nation, across the highway from the Old Corral. Haley Van Zant, co-owner of Robber's Roost Sports Grill, said Bud Light sales have dropped more than 80% this past week. Van Zant described the commercial impact as huge. It used to be one of our two best sellers, Van Zant said of Bud Light. We have other things to sell. People are just switching to different beers. They just won't do Bud Light. I don't think they should mix the politics in it at all. Everybody else feels the same way, she said. Van Zant said some loyal Bud Light drinkers have been scurrying to buy as many cans and bottles as possible, fearing a new woke label on them. I've got two gentlemen who are still drinking it. They haven't changed the label yet, Van Zant told the Epoch Times. I had a customer who went out and bought a bunch of 30 packs of Bud Light. In Phoenix, drive-in liquor store owner Ricky Aranki said it's too soon to know the full impact of the nationwide boycott on Bud Light. Time will tell. I have noticed maybe a little bit fewer Bud Light sales this past week, Aunt Gary told the Epic Times. If they're not buying Bud Light, they're buying something else. I try not to worry about stuff that's not in my hands. I can't stress about it. Whatever they ask me, I'm going to sell them. At 1881 Spirits in Prescott, Arizona's famous Whiskey Row, bartender Steve Krause said he's heard some customers joking about Bud Light in view of the transgender controversy. It's not selling as much at 1881 Spirits since the backlash over Dylan McIlvaney, said Krause, who believes everyone has got their own opinion. What might vote with one person might not vote with another person. It's like that with everything. Here's how I would have done it. I wouldn't have made it gender-related. I would have stuck with the Frogs, an older fictional Budweiser brand. They were banging with that, Krause said. At the Birdcage Saloon on Whiskey Row, bartender Shanu Snaketail said it wasn't as if Bud Light was the biggest seller at his bar. To be honest, not many people get Bud Light here, said Snaketail. I presume he's actually an Indian, who said he couldn't care less about what's on the beer cans. I don't think putting a rainbow on a can is political. It's just a way for them to get more money, Snaketail told the Epic Times. Further up Montezuma Street on Whiskey Row, the old Western theme Palace Bar recently switched brands from Bud Light on tap to Coors Light on tap. General manager and part owner Raymond Moreno said the move had nothing to do with politics. It strictly has to do with an uptick for people requesting Coors Light. That was more manageable to get kegs of that instead of getting bottles, Moreno said. If you look at our draft line, we only have a little space. Our switch out had nothing to do with the current thing. It's just that so many people were asking for Coors Light. It's easier on us. At the Chaparral Bar in Cottonwood, Arizona, 43 miles north of Prescott, bartender Sidney Encinas said only a handful of customers have moved away from Bud Light due to the political fallout over Dylan Mulvaney. Honestly, as a woman, I have my own opinion, but I'm just here to work. I'm in the service industry, Encinas said. If Bud Light is not what you want to drink, I'll get you something else. Politics and bar doesn't mix. Next to Bud Light, Coors is the bar's best-selling beer here, Encinas said, the Epic Times. We're just trying to bring everyone together and have a good time here. We're not trying to bring the politics and all the heavy stuff, she said. The Crow Bar and Grill in Cottonwood has also seen a drop in the sales of Bud Light in recent days, said co-owner Kyle Kickbrush. There has been a decline in sales. Customers are shifting loyalties, Kickbrush said. Makes no difference to us. We keep politics out of the bar. There's a joke or two here and there about Bud Light, but that's about it. Co-owner Nathan Wagner said he believes there's no such thing as bad advertising, Dylan Mulvaney notwithstanding. I'd prefer to keep politics out of the alcohol game, Wagner said. There's been a conversation. Even on vacation, I was seeing it on social media. Beer has no politics. At the Tavern Bar and Restaurant in Old Cottonwood, manager Alex Dobrowinski said that while Bud Light remains in supply and demand, that could change in the current controversy. Maybe check back in a month and it'll be different, he said. Back at the Old Corral. Bartender Eric Rice said he thinks mixing business, marketing, politics, and bars is a terrible idea. We've had many people change brands. I can name at least five anyway. Some of our Bud Light drinkers are dedicated. Rice said people, himself included, are tired of everybody trying to shove ideas down everybody's throat. Especially when you're drinking beer and it goes right down your throat, I add. Go be whoever you want to be, but keep your politics out of beer. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, this is really stunning stuff. Here's another report about it. Anheuser-Busch CEO breaks silence after Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney controversy. This is partially repetitious. Anheuser-Busch chief executive Friday issued a statement amid the light Bud Light's controversy over its sponsorship deal with transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney. It was the first public statement issued by the top executive since controversy started brewing over the campaign announced by Mulvaney earlier this month. Mulvaney's likeness was placed on cans of Bud Light as part of the sponsorship deal, prompting industry analysts to issue warnings. We never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. That's a bar we've heard before. He didn't specifically mention Mulvaney. We've heard that before. I care deeply about our country, this company, our brands, and our partners. We've heard that before. Some Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch distributors around the country have expressed alarm over the deal, with one report saying that a number of bars have refused to serve Bud Light. Country singer and Nashville bar owner John Rich, meanwhile, told Fox earlier this week his bar won't sell the beer. Previously, Anheuser-Busch issued a statement to news outlets defending its move to hire Mulvaney, who also has reported deals with Nike and other brands. Industry analyst with the Beer Business Daily wrote, "The intense opposition to Mulvaney promoting the beer has been alarming to Busch and Anheuser-Busch distributors, which placed fewer orders after the partnership sparked outrage from conservatives who argued the company is pushing gender propaganda. We reached out to a handful of AB Anheuser-Busch distributors who were spooked, most particularly in the heartland in the South, and even then their most rural areas," the publication said. Brand damage. Some analysts and investors said the damage likely won't sink Anheuser-Busch, but the damage has been done to the Bud Light brand. I simply don't understand why they hired the person who was doing the marketing, Oxygen Financial CEO Ted Jenkins told Fox Thursday. I mean, if your target customer is Kid Rock, and then all of a sudden you decide to go RuPaul, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Because Bud Light generally targets blue-collar workers and younger adults, 25 to 29 years old, the campaign should be problematic for the firm. So I don't think this one campaign is going to colossally destroy the brand, it said, but certainly short term. It puts doubt into their loyal drinkers of Bud Light to say, do you want to continue to be drinking Bud Light based upon who they're showing representing Bud Light? Anytime a company puts on a national spokesperson that has a backlash, it certainly can affect your business. A research fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research wrote this week that Anheuser-Busch is owned by InBev, a multinational conglomerate worth tens of billions. One product, he wrote, won't do a huge amount of damage to the brand or value. But that seems like a plausible result. The Venn diagram of people interested in drinking Bud Light and those eager to support the issue at the sharp edge of the wokest culture war is pretty much Just two circles vaguely near one another, Shepard wrote. InBev investors won't suffer too much. Distributors of AB products and others who do business with the company surely will. Shepard further stipulated in the article that the bottom line effect of wokeness are clearer at other American companies that have abandoned fiduciary duty for politics, referring to large corporations having adopted left-wing talking points and narratives around race and sex. Let me see if I can pull this up so anyone who hasn't actually heard it will have the chance. I mean, this is just embarrassingly bad. Embarrassingly bad. Dylan Mulvaney. If you can find it, Mitch. Here it is. And Dylan Mulvaney is described as an American actress. An American actress. Let me find it. Where is it? Core stock surges 9% after backlash. Bud CEO finally breaks Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light controversy. YouTube. Let's check this out.
I've been looking for a product like this my whole life.
They plugged in ads everywhere.
This is Dr. Grande. Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light? Just a reminder, I'm not diagnosing by this video. Only speculating about what could be happening in a situation like this. If you enjoyed this video, please like it, subscribe to my channel, and consider supporting me on Patreon. I will put the link to Patreon in the description for this video. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Dylan Mulvaney was born on December 29, 1996, in San Diego, California. Dylan identifies as a woman, therefore I will refer to Dylan with the corresponding pronouns. In 2019, Dylan graduated from college with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in musical theater. A few years before this, she started acting. Her first noteworthy role was in the musical The Book of Mormon. She was also featured in several other theater productions like How the Grinch Stole Christmas and High School Musical. In 2021, Dylan came out as a transgender woman. She documented her gender transition on the social media platform TikTok. She published a series of videos titled Days of Girlhood. Dylan skyrocketed to fame on the platform and became a popular social media influencer. In October of 2022, Dylan met with Joe Biden for the online news outlet Now This News. During this meeting, Joe Biden described Republican efforts to restrict gender-affirming care as outrageous and immoral. In December 2022, Dylan posted on Instagram indicating that she had a surgery to make her face appear more feminine. In March of 2023, Dylan appeared on the Drew Barrymore show, during which Drew Barrymore kneeled before her. This is actually something that Drew Barrymore has done in front of many guests, including Hillary Clinton. I think it's a gimmick that she uses on the show to artificially force a dramatic moment. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. In early April 2023, the beer manufacturer Bud Light, which is owned by Anheuser-Busch, sent a few cans of beer to Dylan as part of a sponsorship arrangement. Bud Light was promoting what they referred to as the Easy Carry Contest. This is where people post videos of themselves holding as many cans of Bud Light as possible for a chance to win $15,000. Easy Carry Contest may not be the most appropriate name. I was thinking they should call it the Back Injury Challenge or see how easy it is to get carried into the ER contest. Either way, Dylan posted a video where she used the beers to celebrate March Madness and her first year of womanhood. She also showed a Bud Light can featuring her image, which apparently the beer company had sent to her. This sponsorship resulted in a lot of people becoming upset. One of them was the musical artist Kid Rock. He posted a video where he used a rifle to shoot cans of Bud Light. He said blank Bud Light and blank Anheuser-Busch. The country singer Travis Tritt also expressed his displeasure at Bud Light's marketing tactic, banning the beer from his concerts. Many called for a boycott of Bud Light. There was the sense that the company forgot who their core customers were, like there was a disconnect between their marketing effort and their customer base. Their primary customers are not transgender individuals, rather people who like awful beer. The company responded to the controversy by saying, quote, Anheuser-Busch works with hundreds of influencers across our brands as one of many ways to authentically connect with audiences across various demographics. From time to time, we produce unique commemorative cans for fans and for brand influencers like Dylan Mulvaney. This commemorative can was a gift to celebrate a personal milestone and is not for sale to the general public, unquote. Before the conference started, Vice President of Marketing for Bud Light was speaking on a podcast.
Okay, we're okay, and we'll come back, and I've found the commercial you get to hear for both Bud Light and for Nike. Stand by.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, bear in mind now, I have the Dylan Mulvaney ads for both Bud Light and for Nike. I don't think I've seen the Nike before. Anyone who wants to call in now is welcome to call in the number 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Let's see what we got here. In a tub of bubble bath, holding a can of Bud Light and doing a little dance routine. Give me a break. I mean, this is really ridiculous. I've not seen this longer version before.
Hi. Impressive carrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So, I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports. And I'm not sure exactly which sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate. This month, I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood, and Bud Light sent me possibly the best gift ever, a can with my face on it. Check out my Instagram story to see how you can enjoy March Madness with Bud Light and maybe win some money, too. Love ya! Cheers! Go team! Whatever team you love, I love, too. Okay. Love ya. Okay. Break a leg. Woo!
Here's a Nike doing exercise routine in a backyard. God, I cannot believe they did this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyone who wants to call in and offer their opinions about any of this, obviously welcome to do so. I found it all really unbelievably embarrassing. And the idea that Bud Light should have committed such a catastrophic mistake, it is stunning. There are other developments, of course, but I think we have someone calling at 408. If my guess is right, it's Paul. Paul, join the conversation.
So, yeah, it's hard not to be entertained by this in some way. I mean, I don't really think that a lot of people care that much. She says on a video before, the VP woman who took over, that it was a declining brand. I find that easy to believe because it's terrible beer. I mean, I've never really liked Budweiser, and I wouldn't be surprised if over the years it's gotten worse and they put crap in it. As you know, there was essentially a Jewish takeover of the company. And of course, you know, this vice president of marketing is a Jewish woman. So, you know, it's just, we're living in a world that doesn't make any sense anymore. And, I mean, you know, she says it herself on a real video. Like, what does she really know about beer? I mean, she doesn't. Okay. And, would you be surprised, of course, that, that was probably, this is my opinion, planned. I think they knew what was going to happen, and I wouldn't be surprised if all kinds of people were in on the game, including those beforehand who bought options, right? Who sold Anheuser-Busch short? I bet you there that went on as well.
That they took out shorts on Bud in the expectation the stock was going to drop, so they'd make a lot of money.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Just as you know, on 9/11, I mean, the heads of the 9/11 commission had heard that there were shorts on United and American, which were the airlines, of course, involved in the orchestrated events. But they claimed they tracked it bound to those who had placed the orders, and they couldn't have had anything to do with it because they found it had been ordered by the CIA. I mean, how naive can you get, Paul? They tracked down an obvious indication of foreknowledge to the CIA, and they dismiss it out of their naive belief that the CIA couldn't have had anything to do with it. Your thoughts on that, and then we'll take Frank in New York joining us. Go ahead, Paul, first.
Well, you know, the CIA, as they say about the black people, they didn't do nothing. Didn't do nothing wrong. So
Frank,
yeah.
Go ahead. Join us, Frank, in New York. Join us.
Well, let Paul finish first. I got no problem with that at all.
Yeah, no, I know.
No,
just go ahead.
Okay, all right. The CIA, I think they run the show. Okay. They created Barack Obama, in my opinion. They took out Kennedy. They which of a jig now? I just had a funny little cigarette I found here on the house over in the corner there. Anyway, you know, they run the show. I think they control the presidency right now through Obama. You know, I heard Obama lives, what, a mile away from the White House? So he could go over and talk to this guy without any, you know, electric, you know, any way of being, you know, spied upon. You know what I mean? Faxes, emails, whatever, phone calls. But I think the CIA runs the show. But Jim, one of the reasons I called was, are you aware that Donald Trump Jr. came out and said that they shouldn't boycott Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch?
No.
Why would he say
that? That's really a silly thing for him to say. I mean,
exactly. Well, I guess they feel that 60% of the money Bud donates goes to Republicans, so that kind of justifies the cause. But you can have Mitchell Google that or check it yourself, or maybe Paul has already seen it. But yeah, he came out and said, yeah, they shouldn't boycott those people, you know. And plus, you know, they own what, like 26 or 27 other beers. You know what I mean? So just boycotting that one, it'll help. You know what I mean? It'll put the key on it, you know, the spotlight on it. But, you know, they got a lot of other stuff they're out there selling too. And too bad the more people weren't aware of what they were, and boycott them also. I think boycotting is a great way to go. Obviously, it's affected them to some degree.
They are. Yes, and
yeah,
by the way, that is Don Jr. did come out and say, you know, encourage people not to boycott Anheuser-Busch. Because they donate to the Republican Party, well, the GOP. Yeah,
I think that was a rare political blunder for a member of the Trump family to say that. I think that's incredibly stupid. They're getting themselves right in the middle of a beer drinkers and transgenderism. That's a bad place to be. I think that's colossally stupid. Frank, I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I was just wondering, Jim, do you think that he has advisors around him and they allow that to go through, or does he just he's his own man, I guess, and he just puts out what he feels like putting out there?
What do you mean, Donald Jr.?
Yeah. I mean, you know,
go ahead.
I would think that anything that they're going to put out in public, they'd probably run it through some people, you know what I mean, get clearance to go with it. Now, maybe that's not the case here. Apparently it's not, because, like you said, I don't see how they could benefit by doing this, and it's just like they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I sure agree. Paul, yeah, your further thoughts, Paul?
Okay, yeah, so let's face it. These people plan everything. I don't believe there's any shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, seriously, Jim, think about this, okay? Anheuser-Busch, huge, huge company, part of a conglomerate. Okay, they were purchased by some Belgian conglomerate, as you may already know. And they would have to know okay, they would have to know. So we can just be sure it's on purpose. And who knows, part of it would be psychological as well. In other words, the continuing destruction of Americana, of icons, right? And, in the end,
you're doing the dishes while you talk, Paul, because we're hearing the dishwater.
No, that's okay. Not me.
You doing the dishes? Yeah, just mute while we're talking. Go ahead, Paul, continue. I want to bring Mitchell in. Mitchell, what's your take? I mean, I think this was just a calamity, a stupid decision by somebody who didn't know any better. I would disagree with Paul. It was on purpose. It was so colossally stupid. They lost $6.5 billion in stock value. Mitchell, your thoughts.
Oh, gosh, Jim. I was just waiting for the flush. That just would have been the perfect sound effect for this topic and Bud Light. No, they really screwed the pooch because their beer sales are off 70 to 80% on Bud Light alone. And all their other brands are suffering, too, now that they came out with this. It's almost a bullshit double down as him. Well, you know, it was just some mid-level staffer that did this, and nobody buys that. So they're just trying to weasel their way through it and hope people forget. But I believe people should drive Anheuser-Busch into the ground and break the bastard off, because that's what we have to do. You have to show the power of the people, that the silent majority that is sick and tired of this bullshit.
Yeah, sick and tired of this bullshit indeed. I mean, the transgender stuff has just gone stark raving mad. It's just so stupid. I can hardly believe
it. Stop, Jim. It's not stupid. It's planned. You need to catch up on this stuff. I'll send you a video. You should watch it. It's 20 to 30 minutes, even though most of the time I send you stuff, you don't look at it. Okay, and you've even admitted this to me. It is not stupid. These people plan things. There's not an
accident. Paul, I understand it's part of the cultural Marxism to disrupt values in the country. I understand that 100%.
Way bigger than that. Okay, again, stop interrupting if you don't mind. So there's another agenda sort of layered on top of this, and it's the synthetic biology or pseudo-life, okay? They've been finding that people that are not vaxxed have a lot of the same things of people that are vaxxed in their blood, okay? And for years and years and years, they've been spraying upon us these what Clifford Carnicom calls cross-domain biology. Sophia Smallstorm has another term for it. I forget it. It doesn't come off the top of my head right now. But you should have her on again to talk about some of this, you know, this agenda they're doing. It all bleeds into AI as well, right? Transhumanism. So again, all this stuff they're doing is a pointless distraction. Nobody cares about Bud Light, right? It's not that. You know, it's not that people don't drink it, and it's not that some people aren't mad at what occurred, but it's ridiculous. In other words, you know, it's like drag time, story hour, and other such things. It's just designed to enrage us. It's like outreach culture, right?
Yep.
It's that sort of thing. Anyway.
Mitchell, you have an astute observation here. Please join the fray.
Well, you know, I agree with Paul. There is a bigger malevolent intent to what is going on. And it's kind of I call it the deconstruction of human culture. But the first thing you have to do is you have to break this idea of sexual orientation of a boy and a girl and based in humanity. And then, as Paul Dick shows, they're essentially trying to move us into this new era of tech and eugenics working together.
Right. And I'm going to send both of you, Mitch and Jim, I'm going to send you this video. Like I said, it's It's 20 to maybe 30 minutes. I don't think it's, I believe it's not over 30 minutes. I want you to watch it today, and you will see that this woman did the research. The very largest, you know, entities that are knowable are behind this, including some very, very large law firms, right? Big pharma.
They claim to be big
tech. Yeah. In other words, big tech, big pharma, right? And huge international law firms are behind this transgenderism idea. And it's all, you know, has to do with, like I said, this is AI and essentially, you know, wrecking our biology. So it's not a mistake.
Frank, you want to add?
Yeah, I think, Jim, in your defense, I think you were saying that society's stupid for accepting this stuff. I think, you know, we know who's pushing it. They're pushing it to divide and conquer any way they can. Black, white, male, female, gay, straight, you know, they push it all. They stick it out there. And they're kind of like the censors, you know what I mean? They allow some things and they don't allow others. You know what I mean? You're not going to get some holy man getting a lot of time as compared to, you know, this guy here dancing around and you know, the media refers to him as a woman now. So, you know, they're going to be pushing that. You know, I mean, it's crazy. You know, in these schools, they got some of these teachers they're putting pressure on to, you know, if kids want to be called they or them instead of he or she or this or that.
Yeah.
You know, and they got the new math, you know. Go ahead.
And they're firing teachers over this.
Yeah. Oh, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. And, you know, I don't know, you know, the percentage of people that are teachers that are good is probably still a pretty high percentage. But I don't know. It seems like the ones who are looking for the detriment of this country, they seem to be getting more sway, you know, in the unions, et cetera. You know, that drag store, you know, or drag queen story hour. I mean, when that first came out, I said, is that for real? And then you see, and it's the Library Association of America or something that's pushing it all around the country. And, you know, that opens up the door that there, you know, gets a little kind of respect. I mean, I don't know how any woman, and you see the women there with their kids, could bring their kids to something like that. You know, here's a buck, John. You go up and stick it in Fat Boy's G-string there. Go ahead. Good boy.
Just for the fun of it. So there's four of us right now on this call, Frank and Jim and Mitch and myself. So can any of you people name the CIA chief off the top of your head? The CIA director?
Burns. William Burns.
Okay. So anybody else would have got that?
Oh, not absolutely. Me.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
But last I know, I think it was Gina Haspel. You know.
Right. Either way, you know, even if you couldn't have named it, you can be sure that he was either Jewish or vetted by Jewish handlers. And of course, he is indeed Jewish. So this is all we're looking at all the time, constantly, 24/7. They're out in the open now. They have complete power of all. They have complete control of all the positions of power, government, advertising, media, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, in the end, like I said, the teachers, the students, you know, that's important stuff. And parents definitely need to get involved and, you know, take control of their school boards, whatever, blah, 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 pull their kids out of school, all the stuff that's really not easy to do. But as I've been saying for a long time, this only ends one way. And that's the way that they're driving the train.
And that one way, you mean civil war or you mean nuclear war or what, Paul? Just to be a tad.
I think you mean just to get rid of them, right?
Right. In other words, as long as they're in our society and have positions of power, then this is the direction they're going to drive. You know, they're going to drive us off the cliff.
So you mean they weren't thrown out of? I'm sorry. They weren't thrown out of like 79 different countries and areas. You know, like 109 times, multiple times in Britain for sure. You know.
Yeah. But no reason. They didn't do nothing wrong. Yeah.
I know it's anti-Semitism. It's born in the white man's genes. We all know that. You know, it's systemic racism. It rules these days. It rules. You know, the media can take a couple of thugs and put them out there and canonize them. And, you know, those people up in Minnesota giving that guy's family $25 million before the cop goes on trial. And him and the cop knew each other. You know, they worked together at some bar, I guess, some restaurant or nightclub. One was a bouncer, I think, and the other one parked cars.
Right. So we just have two obstacles to overcome, really, when you think about it. You know, the first obstacle is, to come to grips with who it is, you know, by knowing who it's not, right? We know it's not the blacks that are screwing us, okay?
Right.
We know it's not the Japanese, right? We just go, who is it not? Now we know who it is, and then we have to overcome.
Is it the pygmies, Paul? Is it the pygmies, you know?
Yeah. But the next bridge to cross is the not all argument, where people say, they talk about who they've known in their life. Oh, my friend was Jewish. You know, that's silly nonsense. Once we get past that, then it's pretty easy, you know, to know what to do. And it's not like it hasn't been done before, right, Frank? And it's not like it hasn't been written about throughout the centuries.
Oh, yeah.
You know obviously in a daze.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just they have us all in a daze. Right? Well, they
basically conspire with each other when they get into a country, or, you know what I mean? They get into a business, they hire, you know, their own, they push that, you know, it's they're a clique and they stay tight. And, you know, people talk about the mafia, you know, these guys make the mafia, you know, look like Raggedy Jane.
And they were the first mafia way before there was ever a so-called Cosa Nostra and a Italian mafia. There was the Jewish mafia. They were and still are predominant. Organized crime was and is a Jewish organization. And many people have done research on this, including David Duke, who's done excellent research to show. They just tried to smear later on. They tried to throw the Italians under the bus, but...
Oh, the Untouchables, that was right out there. You know what I mean? I don't remember them going after Bugsy Siegel or Arnold Rothstein or any of those guys. You know, it was always Frank Nitti or Al Capone and all of the Paisans.
Yeah.
As far as I can recall.
Go look at Al Capone's face and tell me that is a European face when you see Al Capone's face. That's a Sephardic face.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, the longer you live, Jim, that's it, man. It's just ascending the ladder of life, and you just can't stop but see what you see.
Well, Paul, I'm always glad to have your opinions, and I appreciate when you're so thoughtful. Mitchell has something going here, I think, just warning me we're coming toward the end. If either of you would like to make closing statements, Paul, why don't you go first?
Well, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, Frank wants to become Paul now. All right. That's good. No, I don't
I didn't hear what he said there. Okay. You know, but I just want to say, you know, I admire both of you guys. Okay. Jim, you know what I mean? A lot of people would have banned Paul a while ago, and Paul, a lot of people would have just said, I ain't going to, you know, continue on here. You know, I mean, I know you guys agree with most of the stuff, but, you know, sometimes you disagree, and it makes for good radio, actually. Sometimes when you get a little hot under the collar and, you know, you can, you know, feel some like vibes coming from each of you, but I'll bail out here.
Yeah, well, that's all good stuff, Frank. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. Yeah, Jim, I'll just close by saying that I'll send you a couple of things and just take a look at them, including one is a movie on BitChute, a place where, you know, you have a channel on BitChute. I'll send you a movie from 1940 called Jude Seuss. Germans made it. And the movie is set in 1733. And it's a Hollywood type movie. In other words, it was made by the German movie industry with amazing acting, costumes and sets. And it stands, the Jude Seuss means the Jew Seuss. And they nail it. They nail exactly what is going on today, what is going on with their society, and, of course, is going on long, long time ago. The nature of these people in terms of their innate biology has not changed. And, yes, we all know it's not every single Jew, of course, but we have a problem, and it's already been identified. We just have to wake up.
Very good, very good. Mitchell, you're welcome to add a final word yourself, my friend.
Well, until we get through the psychology of how they're controlling everybody, then nothing will change. They will keep reinforcing their brainwashing. The Jim Jones Media, They just want you to drink the Kool-Aid. One minute left, Jim.
Well, we've got some pretty important revelations that were reviewed today, though Paul and Frank didn't pick up on them vis-a-vis what's going on here with regard to this alleged leak and all that. And I believe that Joaquin has got it right, and that there was this is a deliberate intended situation where to protect future leaks, they're going to crack down on social media. My God, I mean, virtually every issue they want to crack down on is one that I address here, there, elsewhere, by many shows. And Paul's believe do appreciate, too, that I, you know, I'm doing like 10 or 12 shows a week, and I'll endeavor to take a look at what you're sending me today. I won't make promises that I may be unable to keep, but I appreciate that you're persistent and keep at it. So I'm glad for that.
But since you are doing 10 to 12 shows a week, then I think it's important that you have a better overall perspective. And no disrespect, but I've often said that in many cases you should maybe do a little bit less in terms of talking and take in more content. I mean, everybody appreciates the efforts that you make, but sometimes, taking in the work of others is a key to...
I agree with all that, Paul. Keep it coming. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back Wednesday with more of the Raw Deal.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...